Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
A pleasant Good Friday afternoon from your friends Grant and Danny. We are out and about. It's January 3rd, 2025. I got that right, Danny.
It's going to take some getting used to. But seriously, it is weird.
We are live for a Friday field trip. We are back at the Craft House in Fairfax. Fairfax Corner will be here until our program ends and we get ready for Virginia Tech football right around 6 o'clock this evening. So come on out, say hello, kick it with us. It's a little bit of a Commanders pep rally with a side of celebration of the playoffs.
Yeah.
Some light snow falling, just enough to be pretty, not enough to be annoying. It is a great day in Fairfax Corner at the Craft House.
Yeah, not too shabby. I have already consumed a grilled cheese sandwich with bacon right on top of it. The tater tots were also topped with cheese, sour cream. It was a whole thing. And it's fantastic. I love this place. I love hanging out here. Super easy to get to. Plenty of packing and a lot of beverages, a lot of banter. But to your point,
Let me double click.
Please.
Sometimes we do appearances and a lot of people hit me up and they'll go, what's the parking like? I don't know about the, we have a gigantic parking lot right next to us.
Yeah.
You have nothing to worry about.
Mm-hmm.
You're on 66. You're in the Fairfax area. You're driving by tonight. There is parking. It is beautiful. Great facility. They got heated lamps if you want to sit under the overhang outside as well.
Check out the snow.
Really cool spot.
Yeah, it's awesome. But yeah, I lost my choo-choo train of thought, but I think it was basically, I love it here. The second part is kind of what we're doing, and we're doing the radio show, but this really feels like one part celebration, right? I mean, just the idea of where they were supposed to be, the idea that most of the time when you do a first year with everybody being new, it's basically a cleanse of what was, right? You power wash all the different bad things and the negative influences and the guys that weren't playing very well and, you know, this, that, and the other, and you win five or six games. You're competitive and you're trying to instill the new culture and you're giving something to build on. Well, how about 11 wins plus to build on? How about the rookie of the year to build on? How about, a coaching message that seems not just to resonate at the opening press conference, but, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9 months into this thing still is ringing true? I mean, you've got something pretty special going on here. And we're going to talk about this kind of throughout the show. In fact, we'll start here in a moment, where some things that aren't that great, but they're all being masked by how wonderful some of the great stuff is, if that makes any sense. And it's not to knock them. They shouldn't be here. And here they are, heading right into the postseason, chance to beat their rivals to get to 12 wins. Never in a million years did I think that was coming.
Yeah, a chance to end the season with 5 straight wins after their 3-game losing streak to the Steelers, Eagles, and Cowboys. And with that loss to Dallas that made it 3 in a row when they got beat by a bad team at home, it felt like the wheels were coming off the wagon a little bit. But this team, and you got to give them credit for this all year long,
yep,
every time it felt like things were teetering a little bit, like maybe they'd go sideways, so many times we've seen it in years past, they'd get up off the mat and they'd play a really good game. They had that game against the Titans going into the bye, really changed everything for them. Now, to your point, in this 4-game winning streak here on the back end of those 3 losses, they have now, since the bye, played 3 games. They're 3-0. But it's been leaky if you go back through the 3 games one by one. They beat the Saints 20-19. Luckily, a 2-point conversion was not converted, or a bad team gets you in their building there. They beat the Eagles 36-33. That was the signature win.
Yeah.
And they deserve full credit for that. I'm not taking anything away from them because that's a really good Eagles team. I thought Kenny Pickett played pretty well off the bench. By the way, without Jalen Hurts, they played Dallas the following week. They scored 40 points and blew them out 40-7. So it's not like just because Pickett came in the game, all of a sudden the Eagles were a 4-win operation. But it is also fair to say that if Jalen Hurts didn't get hurt, there could have been a different result there in your first and to this point only win against a team over 500. The Falcons, the second win against a team at the moment of kickoff over 500, are now right at that midwater mark, as many wins as losses. But even that game, it took, you know, the missed field goal by Atlanta, a terrible clock management by Raheem Morris. So I'm not here to say anything other than I'm thrilled with 11 wins. I am giddy they're headed to the playoffs. They've got a chance to beat Tampa Bay. They've got a chance to beat the LA Rams.
Absolutely.
And whatever happens from here on out is gravy. Because they're not supposed to be here. And, Danny, that makes you dangerous. I just think it's important to acknowledge there are flaws. There are things they've got to either fix or that will become their undoing. And even though it's four wins in a row, three of them don't leave you feeling great. But they, if you beat Dallas handily, if you have a really good game going into the playoffs, which Dan Quinn is not resting his laurels, they want the sixth seed, they're going to try to do that, it does give you momentum then going in to try to knock a team off in the playoffs for the first time since 2005.
Just 20 years.
20 years. Years ago.
So this is a poorly drawn analogy, but bear with me. Okay, my wife does everything. And I know you've got a similar situation where your wife is better than you. Same here, right? Just smarter, more thoughtful. Everything happens because of her, right? Whether it's the food being served, food being purchased, the house being clean, whatever needs to happen, she makes it happen. I do my best to try to fix the flaws and anticipate the needs, but I stub my toe and get it wrong. She fixes everything. Well, what if she has a cold and can't get out of bed that day? Or what if she's got the stomach flu? My point is, that's what Jaden Daniels has been for this team over the last four games. They're Jaden Daniels and O over their last 4 weeks. Now, that's, you don't apologize for that. You got the special thing. You have the guy that makes so much of a difference. I mean, to me, I was talking to a buddy about this last night via text. I think they're a six-win team without Jaden Daniels. That doesn't mean they're never competitive. Doesn't mean that you can't jump up and beat somebody. You can't throttle someone that's down in the dumps in their own right. But in terms of talent, in terms of what they've got, they're probably a 6-win outfit. Can't really stop people. Sometimes you can. Can't really move the ball, but maybe occasionally with Marcus Mariota, he can make some plays. You've seen what that looks like. But you have him against Philadelphia. You've got him against Atlanta. You've got him for these unbelievably special things where it shouldn't be the design that he gets 16 carries and runs for over 100 yards because your running game can't get going without him. That's not sustainable, but it's happening right now, and you don't apologize for it. But he's making everything better, and you rely on that until you can't, until he doesn't get up from that hit he took against Atlanta where they had to call timeout, and Mariota's going, hey, dude, everyone's watching you. Catch your breath, and he can come back from that until he can't.
That
right?
Game-winning drive. I went back and watched it again the other night. It was such hero ball.
Yes.
It was just straight up like, I'm not going to lose.
Yeah.
I will not be denied. It was amazing. Let's look at a couple of the areas where they've been leaky and where they've got to still improve, maybe against Dallas to get them going, but certainly in the playoffs if they're going to get a win. One thing is they have not run the ball well. This is something we've harped on quite a bit. But I actually have a bunch of the numbers I've dug up over the last three games. So this is not just a Brian Robinson issue.
Right.
That's what people are trying to make it, by the way. I've heard that narrative. And I do think they should run Rodriguez more. I think that that's fair. He's been successful enough with enough of his opportunities to get
more. He's earned more, in my opinion. Yep.
But it's not Brian Robinson solely. Atlanta, Philly, New Orleans, these last three games. They're three running backs combined. So that's B-Rob,
yep.
That's C-Rod, Chris Rodriguez, and that's Jeremy McNichols. Collectively, they have 58 carries for 184 yards. That is 3.1 yards per carry over their last three games. Against Atlanta, Robinson 13 for 60, Rodriguez 5 for 16, McNichols 1 for 5. Against the Eagles, Robinson 10 for 24, Rodriguez 3 for 5, couldn't get anything going. McNichols 2 for 3, couldn't get anything going. The Saints, if you remember, Robinson got a million carries.
Yeah.
He carried the ball 21 times for 65 yards, could not do anything. And one of those runs, in air quotes, was a lateral pass where he got 20 yards. So it was really 20 for 45. On actual handoffs in the game.
Just seemed they were so convinced, now just a quick side note, that they're going, this New Orleans run defense is bad. We're going to get him eventually. First down, thump for nothing. First down, thump for a half yard. First down, thump for negative one. They were sure, it seemed, that eventually the levy will break. And it never happened. I mean, that game, the Dallas game, where you're going, these bad run defenses, Atlanta hadn't fared tremendously well against the run. They have been really ineffective running the ball with their running backs, especially on early downs.
Rodriguez, combined with McNichols in that New Orleans game, three attempts for 5 yards. So, again, we can harp on the Robinson issue of late. It's really collective in the running game, the traditional running game to their backs, right, where they had 19 for 81 against Atlanta, which is the high water mark, as good as it's gotten. And they ran it a little bit better at times out of tempo. They had a direct snap that worked to Brian Robinson when they got cute and tried to pretend like they were tossing back to Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, to me, that was once Daniels got going, running the ball. Then they had a couple burst runs that they got. But early on, they couldn't do anything.
But here's what's weird.
Yeah.
He was going in the Philly game.
Mm-hmm.
He ran for 81 yards in that game. They averaged 2 yards a carry by their running backs. He had 66 yards against New Orleans. Remember, had some big runs.
Mm-hmm.
They averaged less, right around 3 yards per carry in that game, actually less than that. So you think about like 2012 with 1,600-yard mm-hmm. Alfred Morris and Robert Griffin and the presence and the threat that he was as a runner. Generally, defenses having to go 11 on 11, hat on a hat, means the running back's going to have a field day. And it just has not happened. So that is something now that they absolutely have to clean up. Daniels, though, has been the running game.
Yes.
To your point, when you say Daniels and O in the last month, counting the bye, they're 3-0. He's got 36 attempts, so an average of 12 per game, two of them considerably more than that, for 275 yards. Quick math, what is that? You know, 80-some a game?
Yeah.
Over the last three games, 7.6 yards per carry. How much more can you ask of him? How many more times? And to his credit, he didn't take huge hits until the final drive near the goal line in overtime. But, like, how many more times can you ask him, go run 12 times for 85 yards, get hit probably 5 or 6 times harder than you want to, keep getting up. And, by the way, you've also got to throw for 200, a couple touchdowns, but don't turn the ball over.
Yeah, throw
to – huge ask.
Yeah, throw to, Olamide Zaccheaus in traffic on a third and long, or – I know what I would choose, and that's what happened in overtime. I mean, think about that moment before the punt, before the missed field goal and bad clock management by Atlanta. It's third and long, and Zaccheaus doesn't get much separation, and Daniels throws a perfect pass right through his hands. You got a punt right there, and you probably lost the game against somebody that's, you know, a bit more capable. That's kind of the tightrope we're walking here, right, where because they got a reprieve, because they got another chance, again, because of horrendous, embarrassing high school, probably below high school, junior high school level clock management from Raheem Morrison Company, and a kicker that is atypical of the current NFL in terms of his ability to kick with any kind of distance or leg, you end up with another chance. They never touch the ball in overtime, and you go win it because Jaden Daniels scrambled 7 times. I mean, you're walking this tightrope, and these are all relative complaints. Again, I started off with, I can't believe they're here. I can't believe they've already got 11 wins. Great chance at 12. We're talking postseason, and we should. Simply now spinning the other plate, it ain't all roses. He's covering for a lot of stuff, and we haven't even gotten to the defense yet.
Well, the defense is, I would say, highlighted by, if we're looking for areas that have to be cleaned up going into the playoffs, a corner issue right now that got bad news today. Not that it was surprising, but Marshon Lattimore is going to be out against Dallas. I didn't think he was going to play. He shouldn't play probably if he's not 100% anyway. Rest him up for the playoffs. But I'm officially nervous about his status now.
Oh, 100%, yeah.
When Dan Quinn said, I guess it was last week maybe, that this was the same injury that he suffered last time, I don't think he meant decidedly that it was like the same level of injury. If it was the same level of injury, that could be months.
Yeah.
And that's what it was
before.
We just
saw it, yeah.
I just think he meant like it was a hamstring injury last time, it's a hamstring injury this time. But we have no guarantee that he's going to play next week. And if he doesn't, again, there is a real corner issue right now. Benjamin St. Juste, who's lost confidence, didn't even get run over Michael Davis last week. Michael Davis, who's been benched a couple times this year for play, struggled immensely. By the end of the game, the Falcons had just decided, where's 24? Throw it at him.
That's where we're going.
You look at the number one wide receiver they faced the last 2 weeks. Drake London went 7 for 106 and a touchdown. And Michael Penix missed him more times than, like, missed connections on some weird website. Like, Michael
Great
Penix.
Great Craigslist poll right there.
Thank you. Craigslist.
You
that's
yep.
what I'm looking mm-hmm. for. Michael Penix probably could have hit him another 4 times where he missed him for another 40, 50 yards. Would have been a 150. Would have been a monster day.
Yep.
A.J. Brown 2 weeks ago. 8 catches for 97 yards and a touchdown. You go, oh, he's a Hall of Famer. 8 for 97 is not bad. Another 70 and 3 penalties on PIs. So that's 165. And that was when Lattimore was on the field. Oh, by the way. If you go back to the Saints game, now they don't have any wide receivers. You could pick some people out of Kraft House to go run around and catch passes from Spencer Rattler. But he still threw for almost 100 yards against the secondary in that fourth quarter where they came storming back. So as much as running the ball better is a thing you got to talk about on offense, I would say getting Lattimore healthy and finding a way to draw something up schematically to do a better job on the outside passing game
yeah.
is going to be huge, especially, look, you're either facing Tampa with Mike Evans, who's going to the Hall, or you're facing the Rams with Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua. Cup's going to the Hall, and Puka Nacua's started his career in that way.
Yeah, he's at the top of leaderboards for, you know, his first couple of seasons. So when you were out before Christmas doing the show with Linnell one of those days, and this was kind of my point, yeah, they're not good at stopping the run. I'd never claim that they are. But when they decide, all right, fine, not the run, they've able to do some things in the run game, right? They stopped Alvin Kamara early because they didn't trust Jake Hainer to be able to beat them, et cetera. When, after Saquon Barkley went for 110 yards in the first quarter and Jalen Hurts gets hurt, they said, okay, not the run game, right? They did a nice job. When they've said, let's stop the pass, they can't. They've got no answer. And now you take Marshawn Lattimore out of the equation. That's terrifying to me. I mean, you're 100% right. I mean, there are only so many guys where you can you know, put resources and different things. And if they play decent passing games, as they did, you know, against Philadelphia with Kenny Pickett and company throwing it, going up and down the field against them at will in passing games, they won that game because Devontae Smith dropped a pass which he would never drop. He's literally his first drop of the season when he beat his cornerback by 15 yards. So, to me, that's my biggest concern defensively, is there is a free matchup that an offense can use whenever the hell it wants. You can do a lot against them, right, when they're not committed to stopping certain things. But that, to me, is there's no answer there. There's no one in that locker room that could try to go, I'll fix it. St. Just is broken, to your point. And Michael Davis just simply doesn't have the acumen or the ability to be able to stick with any of these guys. They're going to have to play in the postseason. That's my biggest fear.
Well, here's one thing that I guess we could throw out there, though, is they have only really recently played their best game complete four quarters legit football against the Titans when they just destroyed them,
killed them. Yep.
At home about a month ago. To have won the three games that they did with either ugly starts in the Atlanta case, and I don't mean on the first drive, they went down the field and scored, mm-hmm. but at halftime you've scored 7 points, you're down 17-7. Certainly in the Philly game, they turned the ball over five times. That's a game you lose
right.
99% of the time. To have survived and advanced, maybe you feel like they're scary because that game's coming. Like, they're a really good game where they get B-Rob going, where they're running the ball, where play action is married to the run, and Jaden Daniels is feeling it and going 25 of 29 for 251 and a couple of touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you feel like that game still could be coming.
Right.
If you were to get Lattimore back, and he plays better than he did the last time we saw him, if Benjamin St. Juice gets the nod over Michael Davis, and with a little play time, added confidence, elevates his game a little bit. You can see a path now to this team playing its best game it's played in several weeks, which it'll need to do. But I guess that is the point I want to drive home, is the game they've played against Philly, against Atlanta, against New Orleans, won't win them a playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
I am thrilled they've won four in a row.
Right.
But if we're talking about beating LA on the road, if we're talking about going to Tampa and making up for week one and knocking Baker Mayfield, Liam Cohen, that offense, and the Bucs out of the playoffs. Sorry, Todd Bowles. Thank you for your services in burgundy and gold. You just got to be better than they've been the last few weeks. And so it's
time the point.
To ramp it up, starting with this weekend against Dallas.
Yeah, to me, it's twofold. One, on one hand, I am complimenting Jaden Daniels and trying to have everybody stop, smell these roses, and go, do we understand how transcendent and ridiculous this is?
Well, he's been good enough to win a playoff game.
That's kind of the point. But it's not fair to just go, hey, man, I know you dragged this kicking and screaming here. Could you do it again but more, you know, on the road in the postseason? And he might. By the way, he's so special, he might. But that's not a sustainable way to do it, is kind of the point here. There have, again, I use the poorly drawn analogy at the start of the top of the show, where it's like my wife does everything and I'm just kind of relying on that, and thank goodness. Well, what if she's got the flu for 48 hours? The whole house would come crumbling down, right? Don't let the house come crumbling down. Like, if Jaden Daniels has to, you know, miss a series or miss a play or two, it's like, oh, I don't know what to do. That's the part that, you know, he's masking so much, and it's awesome. It's been so much fun, but you're kind of going, let's acknowledge that. We can still celebrate because we got the dude, and big picture, this is incredible. But right now, this minute, just talking about winning a playoff game, which is a luxury, there are issues.
I heard Dan Quinn doing a radio interview on Sirius XM. I think it was yesterday. And he told the guys that he had an interaction with Raheem Morris after the game. They know each other really well.
Yeah, they're buds, yeah.
Obviously, Raheem was on the Atlanta staff under Quinn. And he told Raheem post-game, he said, a lot of the plays at the end of that game were never on a card. Meaning, none of the Jaden Daniels stuff was not designed. Like, they called something, mm-hmm. and Jaden caught the ball at the snap, said, "Hike," got the ball, and then he said, "Oh, they called that thing. That's funny." And he just went and did something else.
Yeah.
And Raheem was like, "Yeah, five's different, man." And Dan Quinn's point was like, "You got got. You know, you, five right. got you." And so to your point, I get that. However, and Jaden, to his credit, acknowledged this in his presser this week, he's got to protect the football. There's no reason to spend any time picking nits on the guy that got you here.
Mm-hmm.
But he has thrown seven interceptions in the last six games. If you go back to the rest of the season before that, he'd thrown two picks.
He'd thrown two.
So that's zero.
And it wasn't like he got away with a bunch either for that, right?
Zero in the first three games against Tampa, the Giants, and the Bengals. He threw one against the Cardinals and one against the Browns. And he didn't throw one for five straight games against the Ravens, Panthers, Bears, Giants, and Steelers, a great defense. Since then, he's been picked off by the Eagles, bad one, middle of the field, by the Cowboys, similarly, and then in, the second one in that game was actually a Hail Mary, so who cares. The Titans interception, I don't remember top of my head, did not get picked off against the Saints. He threw two bad picks against the Eagles, and then he got fooled against the Falcons, again, middle of the field. So you have seen in the stretch run that teams are starting to do some things to allow him to be caught occasionally. Yep. So that's just something. It's a small wrinkle in a shirt that you're about to wear. Let's just take out the iron and figure that one out before you start, because the games are about to get tighter. The margins are going to shrink. The quality of the opponent is going to be elevated, and all that stuff matters a little bit more. But let's open up the MGM National Harbor listener lines for you guys next. Four straight wins. The last three of them coming with some caveats here. How you feeling going into Week 18 and, more importantly, the playoffs? 800-636-1067. Are you more confident than you were a couple of weeks ago? Do you feel like they've been fortunate or they're for real, I guess, is the best question. 800-636-1067 is the number on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Welcome back, Grant and Danny, live out and about our Field Trip Friday series, continuing with our last stop in the regular season, although the good news is we will be keeping the train on the tracks in the playoffs. We'll give you the deets on Monday as to where we'll be this coming Friday for the first postseason version of our Field Trip series. I'll just let you know, Arlington, we are coming your way.
Oh, good teaser by you.
But today we're at Fairfax Corner. We are enjoying ourselves at the Craft House in Fairfax, and you guys should stop by and kick it with us. We'll be here all show long.
This place rules. Plenty of parking, as we've alluded to. Huge menu. Bunch of different delicious food items. I tried to count the beers during the commercial break. I lost count because every time I'm like, oh, I got a pretty good feel for the entire wall of draft beers. There's also dozens more in a nice little refrigerated case there for your perusal. There's ciders and everything in between. All sorts of beverages out the yang. This place is awesome. I love hanging out here.
Phone lines available to you right now. The topic at hand at 800-636-1067. How you feeling about the Commanders as they approach the playoffs? Everyone's talking about the winning streak, but if you dig deeper into the process here, it's been a little bit shaky in some key areas in terms of secondary play defensively and running the football, which you could go into the playoffs not running the ball well if you are the Chiefs maybe with Patrick Mahomes,
right,
or you know, even if you are the Vikings and you got Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison. But this is the MO of this team, is the run game. And the numbers are still okay because Jaden Daniels has been carrying the mail. But you got to get B-Rob. You got to get Chris Rodriguez. You got to get Nate Nichols. Doesn't matter who it is. Someone's got to get going here. Again, 3.1 yards per carry for their backfield now over a three-game span. Back to the Titans game. They ran wild in that game.
Yep, they did great.
But before that, they had issues as well. It's really, that's the outlier over like 6-7 weeks.
And so remember, we're going into the Cowboys game. You're going, okay, they've struggled on offense to a degree. It ended up with decent point totals and yardage totals, et cetera, against Pittsburgh and Philadelphia. But you go, okay, those are two really good defenses. Dallas's run defense is an embarrassment. They've pretty much quit at this point, right? You can bully them and knock them into next week, and they couldn't run the ball at all. At all. With the running backs. Again, the running totals look fine because they got Jaden Daniels. But you just kind of went, Well, I can't explain that. Maybe that's a weird one-off. And then against New Orleans, they got stuffed and stuffed and stuffed and stuffed again. So it got to the point that the outlier is the Tennessee game. Then Philadelphia 2.0, Atlanta 2.0. Really struggled to run the football in early downs with their running backs. And the idea that we'll just rely on Daniels is awesome until it isn't, right? I mean, it's not fair to ask Josh Allen to do it. It's probably not fair to ask Joe Burrow to do it. It's probably not fair to ask Mahomes or whoever else to do it at this stage. But at least those guys are making 50, 60, 70 million bucks. This is a rookie quarterback in game number 17 at this point. It's unfair. And you've got to find a way to at least get something just to take the pressure off him so it doesn't have to be, hey, dude, listen, I know you can't stop anybody and you got nobody to throw to because of Brackley and McLaurin. Could you just fix it all for us? I just don't think that's sustainable.
Let's go to the phones. 800-636-1067. Jim's in Spotsylvania. Jim, how you feeling about the boys? Where's your confidence right now as they steamroll toward the playoffs?
My confidence is high. We're playing with house money. We never thought we'd be here. I'm glad you finally hit on the point I'm trying to make here as an example of why I'm high. Key point last game, Chris Rodriguez Jr. brought in the game. Robinson is just slow. And that kid has pep in his step. I'm old. He reminds me of Larry Brown. He yep. was dragging people. He was making plays. Remember what he did at the goal line. Remember what he did on that drive. That is what we need. Speed, power, running like his hair is on fire. That's what this team needs.
Thanks for the call. So I've got some deep dive kind of analytical numbers on those two. But suffice it to say, Rodriguez is just been way more efficient than Brian Robinson. Now, it's fewer carries. There's no doubt about that. But if you look at rushing yards over expected, okay, so this is going to sound wordy. It's very simple. Basically, with the chipped data and next-gen stats, they're able to kind of determine where a defender is, where a ball carrier is, how a play is blocked, and how much you should have gotten on the play. So let's say the play is designed, the block is there, the defender comes, you're supposed to get 2.5 yards or 3 yards. If you get beyond that, that's RYOE, rushing yards over expected. If you get less than that, you get negative rushing yards under expected. On the season, per carry, Brian Robinson gets 0.1 yards more than is blocked for him. Chris Rodriguez gets 0.6 more, like a half yard more than what is blocked for him on those carries. If you look at yards after contact per attempt, so the first time you're touched to when you're tackled, Brian Robinson, and this is very good, 3 yards after contact per run this season. Chris Rodriguez, 4.1 yards
That's
after
insane.
Contact
That's insane.
Per attempt. So he has been better than Brian Robinson in those areas that it's, you know, these per attempt metrics. Another one you could use is like rushing EPA, which I don't like as much because of the discrepancy in attempts, but that's, you know, expected points added. So the really good players in the league have super high totals. The players that struggle have low totals. It could be positive or negative. B-Rob on the year is a minus 15 in EPA per play. Chris Rodriguez is like plus 7. But it's just indicative of the metrics. And these are, again, deeper dive analytical numbers. But I promise you the R&D department in Washington knows this.
Yeah, so I'm wondering why. Because I've seen Robinson run more effectively than he is right now. Just seems like he's, I don't know if he's banged up. I don't know if he's slowed down because of all the hits he's taken. I don't know if because he's, you know, if it's like Shaquille O'Neal in his prime, where in order to stop him, you just get a bunch of bodies on him and foul him and hit him super hard, and maybe that wears on you. I don't know. He doesn't look explosive, right? Like, I think about that, the caller just brought it up. The touchdown to Rodriguez on that pitch play where a guy's got him dead to rights in the backfield. Should be a loss of a couple of yards. It's not. Rodriguez shrugs him off like Billy Madison playing dodgeball against the kindergartners or whatever, and waltzes into the end zone breaking a couple tackles. I don't think Brian Robinson does that in that moment, right? There's the shiftiness that he had at one point, that the yards after contact stat is still good for Robinson, to your point. That's what I associate him with, is not a ton of wiggle, but just enough to then get to the point where you can't square him up and he's falling forward. He turns 2 into 5. He turns 5 into 7. That's missing right now. I'm not smart. I wish I knew. I'm not smart enough to know that's, well, schematically, they're now, you know, they're able to, you know, put their best defensive tackle over Allegretti. They're knocking him back into the backfield, disrupting some of the timing. Or there's a tell where people kind of know what's coming and how it's going. I don't know. but it doesn't look as good as it did earlier on this season when Robinson's getting the football.
They also, early in the year, were pretty healthy along their offensive line for the first several weeks, and they haven't been lately. Mm-hmm. Now, it hadn't been like wholesale at any one time, but Biotish has been in and out for the better part of the last five, six games.
That's right.
In terms of even in-game, you know, I've seen him twice at home, walk back to the locker room, in-game with issues where Dieters had to come in. He obviously missed the Saints game in its entirety where they really struggled to run the ball. You think about right tackle. Now, Wiley's been out, and then Lucas has been in and out. We've seen Trent Scott play multiple times at tackle. They were rotating at left tackle and keeping both Brandon Coleman and Cornelius Lucas really fresh. Now it's Coleman exclusively because on the other side, you've needed to play Lucas. So they have had some moving around up front, and I wonder how much of a factor that's been. Sean's in Gaithersburg on Grant and Danny. What's up, Sean? How's it going?
What's going on, guys? How are you?
Hey, bud.
Doing well, buddy.
So, I mean, I have a theory here, but I want to pick your brain on this. What do you think about this? So, I think this whole issue with Robinson does kind of coincide with our guy, Austin Eckler, not being in the lineup. You know, I mean, I think when you're able to have someone who can not only just, you know, break off a pretty good long run, but can also be a threat out of the backfield, you know, and we all know how much Cliff loves to utilize a running back, especially in the short passing game. I think that takes away a huge dimension, and teams are more able to focus on stopping Robinson, especially because they have not been able to utilize whether it be Nick McNichols or or Rodriguez as much as maybe they would if Eckler was in the game. And I think if a healthy Austin Eckler is in and he's, you know, getting rushes alongside and snaps alongside Brian Robinson, I think that's where Robinson becomes more effective and can break off a run. You know, I think there is a correlation there. What do you guys think?
Well, first of all, great call. Appreciate you you making it. There is something to that. Now, it's not as if they're on the field all the time at the same time, but there is just enough, right? Think about that. Early in the season, that Austin Eckler kind of hides down low, where Robinson's, you know, set deeper and Eckler's so low to the ground, and then there's him flaring out or him getting the football, stretching the field horizontal a little bit to kind of, you know, create some of those back cuts or ways or creases and things as the line starts to move around, some of the different action going other places. You know, I think having other injuries as well, right? And you know, your tendencies at this point, everybody kind of knows everything about you. There's enough tape to know what you want to do, how you want to do it, what you want to get back to, et cetera. So I think it's all these factors, right? The line lack of continuity, as you kind of pointed out, having a good football player out of the backfield, Eckler, doesn't hurt you by any stretch of the imagination. It can only help. So I think there's something to that specifically. But there's even still within that, Jeeps, to me, the normal course of events, which is Robinson's on the field, Eckler is not. Let's hand it off. 2 months ago, wildly more effective than it is right now. Like, that's the part I can't escape.
Top of the hour. Want to dive in on quarterbacks in the NFC and just how high up the board Jaden Daniels ranks based on how he's playing right now going into the playoffs. I think you might be surprised by that conversation. But next, we should get into the Cowboys, who have all kinds of issues in terms of health and players they've shut down. Should be a very beatable team on the road this weekend with nothing to play for Dallas. We'll take our first look at the matchup and the opponent next on Grant and Danny, live from the Craft House in Fairfax Corner, where we'll be all day long. You're listening to The Fan. Grant and Danny at the Craft House in Fairfax Corner. Welcoming you back on 106.7 The Fan, your flagship home for the Caps and the Nats. The Capitals last night got to overtime. First shootout of the season, believe it or not. They lost in a shootout. I thought they played really well. They got a point against Minnesota. But how about the first shootout of their year coming in January?
Isn't that crazy? Feels like that's once a week for almost everybody else. I mean, or last year, it felt like that's all the only points they would get were in shootouts. Yeah,
I will say, though, I don't think they're built for shootouts like they have been in the past.
No, there's no Koozie.
Kuznetsov's gone. Oshie's gone. Backstrom was fantastic in shootouts. So last night is their, you know, in that shootout, and Ovi's going third, who just notoriously has not been very good at it with the game on the line. He's kind of skating up, and I'm going, there's got to be a better trio here.
Right.
But hopefully they don't play in a lot of them, I guess.
Yeah, seriously. I guess that's the best plan, is to avoid them. Yeah, it, but it's always struck me as odd. I totally understand that. This is not me being critical. the greatest goal scorer ever to live is not good at scoring goals in that one specific circumstance.
Well, like, I think it's because early in his career, I bet he would have been way better at shootouts because he had the, you know, the puck handling and, mm-hmm. and the dekes and a lot of the things that he did. But now it's so much about his shot.
Yeah.
And the shot is not how you score in a shootout.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, again, this is not a criticism. It's just
– he scored again last night, by the way.
Yes, he did. Oh, by the way, on a – I don't know if he was looking for a redirect. I don't care, quite frankly. Just that little – I might not. I did, and it was already in. Just whipped it past the goaltender. Well, he loves scoring against Fleury in Minnesota.
39 years old, and he is averaging the highest goals per game rate in his career, 0.8 plus.
Yep.
He has never scored at this rate like he is now at 39 years old. Make that make sense. I am sure we'll talk quite a bit about the Alex Ovechkin chase of Wayne Gretzky at the 106.7 The Fan live event that is coming up at the end of this month. Tickets are still available, but they're going quickly. It'll be the Junks, B. Mitch and Finley, myself and Danny, and the FCC restrictions, uncensored discussion, just shedding those restrictions.
Gone.
Behind-the-scenes stories, going to be a lot of fun. Come hang out, get a babysitter that night for a night of sports and fun and laughs. Tickets are on sale right now. Tally-ho Theater. com. I believe that's on the final day of the month, right?
31st of January. Yeah. I do believe, my friend. That'll be a blast.
Friday night, we'll see you out there at the Tally-ho Theater. Before we put a bow on the Commanders Cowboys for the hour, I wanted to point out, so CeeDee Lamb, I guess some of you may not know if you haven't been monitoring Dallas at all, has been shut down for the season. I thought they were going to start Trey Lance or at least play him in this game, but it sounds like because Cooper Rush has an incentive that he can still go get couple hundred thousand dollars based on play time if he plays in this game, that he will at least spend a chunk of the game on the field. But as much as the Cowboys, and we gave them a lot of credit for this, and I thought deservedly, had played really hard and been a real thorn in people's sides down the stretch here, they beat the Bucks 26-24 a couple weeks ago. They doubled up the Panthers, who have been playing a lot better, 30-14. They hung with the Bengals. They beat the Giants. They beat Washington. I thought this past week was kind of like the dam opened game.
Yeah.
Where like, okay, now it's December 29th. You have your family in town for Christmas. Uh-huh. And New Year's is coming up. And they just didn't care that much. They got beat 41-7, woodshedded by the Eagles without Jalen Hurts. Saquon Barkley ran all over them. But from a passing standpoint, like, what are we doing here? I mean, you're talking about Kenny Pickett and Tanner McKee as the
Tanner
Eagles
McKee
quarterbacks who just move the ball with ease against Dallas.
Yeah, you could play mediocre reliever or a quarterback that torched the Cowboys this past week. Yeah, that was something, because it was close for a minute, and then you looked up and it wasn't at all, just because, you know, Dallas couldn't get out of its own way. That felt like all the house of cards kind of came crumbling down there right at the end, right? Where, they, as you said, they played inspired football. Now, it wasn't that they were ripping off wins against the best this league has to offer, but even still, starting with that Washington game, a couple weeks before, they've been outscored, I think it was by 40-some points, right, as they got blasted by Philadelphia, Houston, not competitive. We're going into the game going, this team is quit, they're gross, they're going to fire their coach, everything's bad. And they played inspired. They played well against Washington, New York. You mentioned the Cincinnati game, Carolina, Tampa. You're going, they deserve a lot of credit. I know Cowboys fans don't want to hear that. But as their season had kind of slipped away from them, you have no reason to play hard, and yet here they are, giving teams fits. And I think last week was reminded that, oh, that's right, you just don't have the horses. You don't have the ability to stay with anybody that's legitimately good, and you hope now that maybe that was, as you said, the floodgates opened, Washington could really take advantage of a, you know, beleaguered group that's now on its, whatever, it's two, quarterback number three, no CeeDee Lamb. This needs to be a, we're getting ready for the playoffs, you're getting ready to golf.
Yeah, it goes without saying that it's just a game that you can't let up in. Like, you absolutely have to find a way to win this football game, because there is something on the line for you that does matter. Mm-hmm. Like, this does still, as much as it would be easy to just kind of stroll into the postseason not caring, the 6 versus the 7 is going to be significant. You don't want to go to Philly. You absolutely would rather play the Rams or the Bucks. We've debated which of those two matchups would be better for Washington. But it goes without saying that both of them would be better than Philly. So you just have to handle your business. And you've already lost once to this team. Makes it less likely to me that you would lose again. If somehow Dallas, with nothing to play for, beat Washington in a game where they're playing their starters and actually care, and there's some guys financially
yep.
who are hungry too. Zach Ertz with a 9-catch game can make 250K. With 90 yards can make 250K. With 2 touchdowns can make 250K. If you look at the pass rushing group, Dorrance Armstrong with a sack can make 250K, I think it is. Dante Fowler with a half sack could get to 11 on the season, would give him $375,000. Like, there's a lot of reasons for a lot of players on this team to care. If the Cowboys beat them, it would be jarring and really should make people nervous going into next week. I just don't think that's going to happen. I think the Commanders are going to be a lot better and pummel this team pretty good.
Yeah, got caught with your pantaloons down maybe a little bit last time. You know, who knows what the week leading up to it was like? Who knows if you read your press clippings for the first time, or, you know, maybe you just give Dallas credit. You know, you just didn't have a great game. That's allowed. That happens over the course of an NFL season. It was especially disappointing given the fact that Washington had lost their previous two games. You know, both winnable, both competitive against good teams. You go, okay, now this is the chance to take out some of that frustration. And they were inept for the majority of that thing. It took a busted Dallas coverage for them to finally get, you know, that late touchdown to McLaurin. But the opportunity is here, as you clearly said, right? You've got so much more to play for than they do, both personal incentives, team incentive-wise. This needs to be the one more muscle flex in the mirror before you go out and pose for the playoffs.
Wait till you guys hear how many of the key starters the Rams are going to be sitting this week. We'll give you those details next. Also, what do we want to see happen this weekend? We can dive into some of those specifics before our Jaden Daniels conversation. How high does he rank among quarterbacks in the NFC going into the playoffs? You're listening to Grant and Danny. We're at Craft House Fairfax at Fairfax Corner. We're going to be here throughout the show, so come on by, hang out with us. You're listening to The Fan.